In 2 weeks from now, there'll be a US presidential debate on foreign policy, and this morning an insight into how that might go. Here's Barack Obama speaking about Mitt Romney's foreign policy, and overnight, our time, Mitt Romney responding.
Now, it'll be interesting to see what the guy who was playing Mitt Romney yesterday will say about foreign policy when we meet next, because he said it was tragic to end the war in Iraq. He won't tell us how he'll end the war in Afghanistan. And I'll use the money we're no longer spending on war to pay down our debt and to put more people back to work. Because after a decade of war, it's time to do some nation building here at home and put some folks to work here at home.
The relationship between the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel, for example, our closest ally in the region, has suffered great strains. This is a dangerous situation that has set back the hope of peace in the Middle East and emboldened our mutual adversaries, especially Iran. Iran today has never been closer to a nuclear weapons capability. And yet when millions of Iranians took to the streets in June 2009, when they demanded freedom from a cruel regime that threatens the world, when they cried out, "Are you with us or are you with them?" the American president was silent.
The president and his challenge on the campaign trail. Dr. Michael Fullerlove is executive director of the Lowy Institute. He's been looking at the foreign policies of the two candidates. He joins us this morning. Michael Fullerlove, good morning.
Morning, Philip.
You say Obama's not as left-wing and dovish as people think, and that Romney is not as right-wing and hawkish either. Why?
Well, you've heard there the two candidates trying desperately to emphasise their differences, most commentators, I think, also have found very stark differences. But when you look at the detail of their policies on a number of the foreign policy issues, the differences melt away. And I think more importantly, when you look at the character and the experiences of both of the candidates, both of them are cautious, evidence-driven, careful decision-makers who are sort of in the centre of the foreign policy debate. So that's why I say that the similarities are more striking than the differences.
So they're not going to be leaders in this field. They'll listen to the Washington experts.
Well, certainly that has been the experience with Obama. Obama has been very focused on America's national interest, not so focused on the human rights agenda or the freedom agenda. He takes advice. He's a very careful, deliberate foreign policy maker. Romney, is, of course, more of a puzzle. If you believe what he said overnight and in his speeches, then he's going to bring the neocons back. He's going to muscle up to American adversaries and so on. But when you look at his career over many years, he's somebody who thinks with his head, not with his gut. I don't think he is an intuitive, instinctive decision maker like George W. Bush. I think he'd be more like George W. Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, who was a very considered, national interest-focused, quite cautious president.
Mm. On the key issues, which you might say, I mean, for our region, the relationship with China, let's come back to that in a moment. Mm. But one of the key issues, of course, is the rise of Iran and the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran and what that would mean to the existence of the State of Israel and so on. Now, Mr. Obama has said we can't allow that to happen. Mr. Romney is of that view also, but would we see any more militant view from Mr. Romney as to how that prohibition might be brought about?
Well, it's hard to predict. I mean, Romney has been more direct in his criticism of Tehran. He said that the regime is unalloyed evil. He's compared them to the Soviets and to the Nazis. But when you look at the detail of his policy, he hasn't gone much further out than Obama. You might think that he would be more likely to use force to try to interrupt the Iranian nuclear program, but it's a risky option, Philip, and the riskiness of that course stayed George W. Bush's hand for the whole of his second term. I spoke to an Israeli policymaker last week who said that he thought that Obama was more likely to use force because when Romney came into office, he'd spend so much time getting his administration together and making his appointments and so on that for a long time he wouldn't want to reach out on that. So I think Iran is a question mark. It depends on how the Iranians behave. It depends how the Israelis behave. But I would say that there is less daylight between Obama and Romney than most people think.
Mm. If it comes to it, though, the United States is going to have to back its rhetoric with something, isn't it? If it says it can't happen, that is, a nuclear Iran can't happen, then that will have to be met with force. And that's an almost unthinkable idea, isn't it?
Well, it's thinkable, and lots of policymakers are thinking about it. It's risky, and the ramifications and the potential blowback are potentially huge. Mm. But as I said, it depends on how events unfold. It depends how the Iranians conduct themselves. If the Iranians are smart, if they don't muscle up to the Americans and to the Israelis, if they act quietly, then it events may not come to a head where the Americans use force. If the Iranians are reckless, if they overplay their hand, then perhaps the Israelis will act and perhaps the Americans will be pulled in.
Hmm. What about the rise of China? We are, of course, in this part of the world, very keenly involved in this debate. We've decided to ally ourselves more closely militarily with the United States, with a stationing of troops in Darwin, etc. That's been criticised by some as interrupting a relationship with China. Would we notice a difference for ourselves in this part of the world and the different views that might be taken on the growth of China?
Well, again, I think that Obama's policy has toughened up very substantially on China. You might remember when he came to office, he went out of his way to accommodate the Chinese on a lot of different issues, didn't meet with the Dalai Lama at their request and so on. But over time, he has toughened up. I don't agree with those who say that America is trying to contain China. I think Obama is trying to cooperate with China where he can, but he's also hedging against the risk of future recklessness from the Chinese by maintaining the American presence in the region and, as you say, strengthening it. Now, Romney's rhetoric has been a notch or two tougher, but it's interesting to me that he has confined his comments primarily to the economic sphere. He hasn't been too forward-leaning on criticising the nature of Chinese society as much as, for example, McCain did. When I squint my eyes, Philip, I look at this former management consultant, private equity executive who's invested a lot of money in Chinese companies. He doesn't look like the type of person to me who would want to get into a clash of civilizations with China or who would muscle up to Beijing in a provocative manner. I think a continuation of the Obama approach, which is a mix of hard and soft, to me seems more likely.
So not much difference in a sense for us.
Well, again, I don't want to underestimate this. They're different people that react to events differently, but it's not like 2008. In 2008, Obama and McCain were worlds apart. McCain was the kind of impulsive, instinctive leader who could sort of go anywhere. But Romney, I find, seems to me a more predictable sort of character. So that's why I'm minimising the differences. Mm.
Very briefly, what would you say President Obama's major achievements were in foreign policy anyway?
I think he has run a prudent, effective, skillful foreign policy. He's been an effective commander in chief. He helped to unseat Gaddafi. He's drawing down in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he killed Osama bin Laden. These are pretty significant achievements. And most importantly, he hasn't made a massive mistake, as his predecessor did in the case of the Iraq War. So these are all good things. And I think this is one important difference between Obama and Romney. This would be Obama's second term, but Romney's first term. So Obama has climbed the learning curve. If Romney were elected, he would be at the bottom of the learning curve and he would be tested. It's very tough to get these decisions right. And I think for the most part, Obama has got the decisions right.
Mm. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Philip.
Michael Fullerlove is Executive Director of the Lowy Institute. His paper, The Audacity of Reasonableness, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, US Foreign Policy in Australia, is available on the Lowy Institute website. It's 3 to 8.